Gentlemen, my guest again this morning is Brian Joyce, and Brian has a lot of qualifications and a lot of experience, but I'm going to ask Brian to talk about air traffic control and a little bit about the history, because Dublin, as we know, is getting a new runway. So I'd like to welcome Brian, and thank you for coming in this morning, Brian.
You're more than welcome.
Good morning. Brian, you're an aviation consultant, but I know you have other titles. Would you like to tell our listeners what they are, please?
Tell me when you want me to stop.
Okay.
Primarily, my background is air traffic control. That's where I spent the bulk of my career. And apart from being a controller in Dublin Airport, I also got involved in various European and international organisations. Spent some time working on a part-time basis with the European Commission on something called Single Sky, which we can come back to and explain exactly what it is. I also got involved with the International Federation of Air Traffic Controllers, who work with the Civil Aviation, the International Civil Aviation Organization, a UN body which regulates air traffic control and aviation worldwide. So apart from that, I have a number of academic qualifications, including a master's in business, and I've lectured part-time for a number of colleges around Ireland.
So you've been a little busy.
A little bit busy. And
and a hell of a career.
Yes, and I suppose I better mention, not that I better mention, but I should mention that all of this was possible because of the support of my wife, Anne. Oh. Long-suffering wife, I should say.
Oh, well, that's lovely. And actually romantic as well. But let me ask you, I'm quite interested in air traffic control, and because of the growth of the new runway and the growth of air traffic coming in and out of Dublin. Could you give us a little bit of a background, maybe in the 1970s, and how it just has grown from that period right up to now, if that's okay?
Sure. If you don't mind, I'll go back a little bit further than the 1970s and go back to what are pretty much the origins of air traffic control in Ireland, which was the late 40s, early 50s. And at that time, in order to set the service up, there were three sources of people who had some of the necessary experience, which were the RAF, the Royal Navy, and the Irish Air Corps. The guys in from those different organisations would have been flight engineers, in some cases pilots, and at other occasions navigators and radio operators. So they were the kind of disciplines that were required to set up a service such as air traffic control. And they would have got the thing up and running after the Second World War and into the 50s, and it evolved from there. Up to the 1970s, Ireland was a small island off the west coast of Europe. There were no such thing as low-cost carriers. The vast majority of people couldn't afford to fly. Ireland wasn't in the European hub, so therefore the number of flights in and out of Dublin were relatively low by today's standards. In the 1970s, we've been talking about approximately 150 commercial flights per day. At Dublin Airport at that time, there would have been four, possibly five on occasions, flight training clubs, such as IONA, set up by Piers Cahill, a very famous personality in aviation, the Garda Flying Club, Dublin Airport Flying Club, and so on. And there would have been more light aircraft movements at Dublin Airport than commercial aircraft movements
at that time.
1970s. Yeah,
wow.
Far more. Far
oh, my
more.
Goodness.
You could have, any given time, and you would know what I mean by this, Myra, you could have had up to four, possibly on occasions five light aircraft in the circuit at Dublin Airport. So they had to integrate with the line traffic because you had cross runways, which made it relatively complex for the tower controller.
Oh. That's a little scary, and also you'd learn very quick to do a circuit, very quickly, and you'd learn manners.
Yes, you would. The way air traffic control works today, and even in theory back in the 70s, the tower was responsible for the immediate environment of the airfield, roughly 7 to 10 miles. And then there was support from the radar service in the control centre, usually located beneath the tower. Problem back in the 70s was that the equipment that we had, and I'm talking about the late 70s and even into the early 80s, the equipment that was being used in Dublin at that time was old. It was 1960s generation and it was very, very basic.
Oh, wow.
Both the radar and the communications, the comms, was primary radar, which meant you just saw a blip if you were lucky, and the radio sometimes was intermittent.
Okay.
But again, it was the 70s and the early 80s. The country wasn't quite as flush as it is now. Mm-hmm. And the state had to decide what was a priority for investment.
Okay. And what happened? Did it jump suddenly or...?
It was growing. However, the real change was the arrival of low-cost carriers, in our case, Ryanair. And it just exploded. I was going to say took off in the 80s, but it exploded.
The pun, no problem, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. It became a serious entity from the 1980s on. When I mentioned the figure there back in the late 70s, early 80s, of 150, perhaps up to 220 in the summer, July, August, commercial movements a day. You're now looking at in the region of 1,000 movements a day at Dublin Airport.
Sorry, Brian, just that last bit. Okay. How many a day?
1,000 commercial flights a day in and out of Dublin.
Okay.
So you're roughly talking about 50 an hour. But you also have to take into consideration that the tower, as I mentioned a moment ago, deals with the last 7 miles approximately. The rest of the air traffic control work is carried out by the radar service, which is divided into what are called sectors or blocks of airspace. Okay, so you got the guys who are dealing with traffic roughly within 40 miles of the airfield, and then traffic out as far east as further east on the English coast, for example.
And that happened because of the boost in aircraft, the numbers of aircraft coming into to land.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you've got to consider runway capacity, which is Dublin on a very, very good day with all things going well, is a maximum of about 50 movements an hour, say 25 in, 25 out. The airspace capacity has been assessed some years ago by a body in Europe as being approximately 80, which means you can have aircraft holding in the airspace or on the ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The basic purpose of air traffic control, and to quote the jargon, is to provide a safe, orderly, and expeditious flow of air traffic. So the controller is responsible for it being efficient and safe.
Okay. And moving up now, it exploded when Ryanair and of course Aer Lingus was still growing itself.
And EasyJet and all the rest.
And yeah. EasyJet. So, and coming into the 90s then, what happened then?
Serious investment. Equipment now and since the late 80s, early 90s has been state-of-the-art. It's a relatively unified system right across Europe. Major equipment manufacturer is a company called Thales, who are French, but were actually founded by an Irish guy in the 1940s in Dublin.
Wow.
A guy called Thompson. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, isn't that nice?
Yes, he was actually a student in TCD and he was into electronics and the technology of the day. And he founded a company and eventually became known as Thompson CSF and then Thales.
Wow.
So they're the biggest equipment provider for air traffic control in Europe.
Okay. And actually, I know you have a lot of up there when you were working, and even now I assume, I just use the word assume, that you have a lot of gender, both men and women, working there. And what kind of qualifications? I mean, I know the aviation language is English. I assume they have to be proficient themselves. So,
yeah, there's two things there. First of all, is the gender balance. The female came into the service in the 1980s. And actually, the first girl who actually qualified as a controller is still there, Anya O'Gorman. Hello, Anya, if you're listening. It had a number of effects from a professional point of view. There was absolutely no difference. Yeah, there was absolutely no difference. Both the fellas and the girls had to reach the same standard.
Okay.
Coming through the training process, and they were a benefit to the group in that it helped to change the culture somewhat.
Oh, right. Okay. And if in air traffic control, there's a new tower up there, I think, at the moment, mm-hmm. isn't there? Of course, you're 24 hours. Air traffic control is 24 hours now, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Would there be times where you'd have a reserve? You could have accommodation up there for somebody to sleep if there's an emergency or if people can stay there the night or whatever.
The night duties have changed over the years. Back in the 70s, the night duty started at 10 o'clock and finished at 9 o'clock the following morning.
Okay.
Be- vehicles. There was very little traffic, and you had a chance for it to relax during the night. Now the night duty started midnight and finished at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's constant work. But the one thing about the discipline is that you can only work for 2 hours, and then you must have a half an hour break.
Oh,
because there've been various studies which show that whether you're extremely busy or it's a very quiet environment, you can only maintain maximum concentration
okay.
for 2 hours.
All right, okay.
So it's obligatory to get what's called a fatigue break every 2 hours.
So because the job, air traffic control, it's so intense, that's what you're just saying, the wages, what would that be like? Oh gosh, I'm terrible. I'm well, notorious for asking the freebies everywhere, but now...
If you think I'm
going, it's very personal, I'm so sorry.
If you think I'm going to give you specific figures, I'm not.
But it's a good job, isn't it?
There was a transformation in the 1990s, and it was in part driven by the increase in traffic, where the guys and girls at the time doing the job realised that they were some way behind their European colleagues. And myself and some of my friends and colleagues got involved in the European institutions and bodies.
Okay.
And we launched a campaign to ensure that we came up to the mark. By Irish standards, the remuneration is exceptionally good.
Oh, excellent. Now, who would be, this sounds interesting, I'm not too sure how to word this, but I'll just throw it out. Who's actually over the staff? What's the body? What's the name of the body?
The name of the organisation is the Irish Aviation Authority.
Okay.
It was formed in 1994. Up to that, air traffic control was an office within the Department of Transport called the Air Navigation Services Office. 1992, a decision was made to start a new commercial state company, and in 1994 it came to life.
Okay. And where would they be based now? Are they out in the airport or where are they?
The headquarters of the Irish Aviation Authority is in the city centre. It's in D'Eire Street at the moment. It is changing in that it's both an air traffic service provider and an aviation safety regulator. But those two functions are in the process of being split into two separate organisations at the moment.
Okay, is that because they're getting bigger?
No. You could speculate as to what the reasons are.
Okay.
There could be a number of reasons. There is a case to be made that the regulator and the service provider should not be in the same organisation. You could also suggest that if there was an intention to privatise the service provider, then you would have to separate out the regulator.
Oh, right. Okay. And now that the new runway, I pass by, I drove along where the new runway has been built, and my goodness, they're flying along there building that runway. So, and my cousin Anne, who lives in Portmarnock, her house in Portmarnock is where all the airplanes, they just see Anne's house and they put the wheels down. So I'm not too sure where the other runway is going to be, whose house, anyway. But so what's going to happen? It's going to be an increase in traffic.
The new runway has been built because of a projected further increase in traffic. I mean, to put Dublin in context, it is a very busy airport. It's top, one of the top ranked with regard to traffic density. But you do have much busier airports of two and three runways. For example, Istanbul has three runways and 4,000 flights a day.
Oh my goodness. And what about Heathrow? With that?
Heathrow would be one of the busiest ones as well. Abu Dhabi and Dubai, the last time I checked, which was about 2 years ago, were the two busiest airports in the world.
Okay, and so literally what happened to make, I know that Ryanair started, would it have anything to do with passengers going to the United States and going through immigration here in Ireland? Would that have helped or...
No, that pre-clearance system is a very small percentage of the traffic through Dublin. They would have a higher percentage in Shannon, but then again, Shannon is not at the same level with regard to traffic density as Dublin and in the airport.
Okay.
Shannon plays a critical role with regard to transatlantic flights in that Ireland is, and in conjunction with a centre in Scotland called Prestwick, are responsible for air traffic services in the North Atlantic.
And how... what's the word? I'm not going to look now because I'm a little bit shocked by you, Brian, because all this information. Shannon, ATC, what would they cover? How many miles, nautical miles would they cover?
The radar coverage from Shannon is about 250 miles west of Shannon. So they can cover, they can provide a radar service to the aircraft for 250 miles west. After that, it goes on to high frequency communications because at the moment they're out of radar range.
Okay.
So that works through a radio station in Ballygreen in County Clare, who relay messages on HF to the aircraft from air traffic control. So it's a radio relay station in Ballygreen. They work in conjunction with a setup in Prestwick in Scotland. So you've got three elements. You've got Shannon ATC, you got Prestwick, and you've got Ballygreen Radio Services.
Okay, and if something obstructed, if aircraft were coming into Shannon and something happened, like, you know, a truck broke down on the runway or something, could all that traffic, could they take it in Knock? Or is Knock, would that be big enough?
No, they wouldn't be for the large. It wouldn't be have a long runway for the larger aircraft. They divert to Dublin.
Or
whatever their flight alternate, as it's called, would be.
Can I ask a very personal question? Did you love your job, Brian?
It's a great job. It's a great career. Mm. There's great job satisfaction in it. There's great camaraderie in it, and it's not just camaraderie among the guys in the station you're working in. It's also international. As I mentioned, I got involved in some of the international organisations. Some of my closest friends now are Portuguese, Polish, Italian, English. The thing about the discipline of air traffic control is that if you walk into a room and there are other air traffic controllers there, immediately there's a bond because they know exactly what you do and what the benefits and disadvantages are.
Oh, right. Because I know you're talking, I'm asking you questions and my mind is going, no, not for me, literally not for me, not with a bleep or anything else. And you also mentioned it can be very quiet and calm. And again, my mind is going, not for me. But there must be a certain temperament of a person. So if somebody wanted to apply and train, how do you know what the person that would fit into your team or the team up there now?
There are a number of things. First of all, you don't need to be academically brilliant by any manner of means. You do need a certain temperament. There have been numerous studies trying to quantify exactly what are the characteristics.
And does that mean that you have to be calm and cool?
I think more importantly, you need a sense of humour.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Well, I'm going to ask you a very personal question. When did you join? I'm trying to be very diplomatic here.
Mid-70s.
So you were there when Ryanair came in and all of that. And Iona left then, I assume. And
Iona finished around the late 80s, I think it was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because the airport got too busy.
Yeah.
And you said something else about holding areas. If there were planes or something happened on the runway, holding areas, where would the holding areas be?
There's a number of different ways of doing it. It's changed since I was an operational controller. Mm. At that stage, there were holding patterns north and south of the field. Now they have a slightly different system in that they fly an arc. Now, sometimes they do use a conventional hold as well if it's extremely busy.
Okay.
But up north of Rush was where one holding pattern was, and it was one down over Killiney.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, my goodness. And have you actually seen where the new runways is going to be built?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There are lots of other questions, Brian, that I want to ask you. And I have to be very, very careful out of time also. And I'm going to ask you when the new runway is built. Could you come back and talk to us about that? And before I even finish and think about that. Do you think there'll be another new tower, or they will be hiring more people for ATC?
The tower is built, and it's not operational as yet. They're constantly hiring air traffic controllers. They hire about 20 a year, every 2 years, and then they go through the training process, which changes every couple of years as to how they actually decide the training is conducted. But there's six different qualifications you can attain. You are issued a license once you hold two validations on your license, and then you can build from there periodically to become fully qualified.
And does that mean you're qualified all over the world?
It doesn't mean you're qualified in the sense that you can walk out of Dublin and walk into Heathrow the next day. But if you hold a license, then you can just do a conversion course.
Okay.
But you don't have to go through the full rigor. It's much, much shorter.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, it has to be English everywhere.
English is the international language, yeah.
Yes, for aviation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is a good career. And do they get a pension? I'm sorry. I know I'm interrogating you here.
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
It's a public service style pension. In other words, you get a... it's part of your terms and conditions. You get a lump sum, which is at the moment it's 1.5 times your final year salary, which is a tax-free benefit, and then you get 50% of your final year salary as your ongoing
okay.
pension.
But it is a very responsible job.
Oh, but of course.
And it's a kind of a glamorous job in a way. And I know, I shouldn't be talking about myself. I know I wouldn't be right for the job, but I do admire anybody that...
I know we're finishing up, but just on a lighthearted note, I mean, when you say it's a very responsible job, I can remember when, just around the time I was joining, if I met somebody in a disco, and a girl, and she asked me...
What would she ask you?
What do you do? And if I said I was an air traffic controller, she said, "You're the guy with the bats on the runway, on the apron." I had an interesting conversation recently where a guy was talking about Jim Gavin, and somebody said, "What does he do?" And he said, "Oh, he's an air traffic controller, but he was a pilot. You have to have been a pilot before you become an air traffic controller," which is not true.
Okay.
But it shows how the image of the role has changed.
Oh, my goodness. And I think most people would think that you're in the tower, but that's not necessarily so, is it?
Obviously, the tower controllers are located there, and that would be in Dublin, as far as I remember, at the moment, is a staff of 6 in the tower.
Okay.
But then usually co-located beneath the tower, but not always. There's a radar centre where
right.
the bulk of the job, the work is done.
Okay. Brian, I do want to ask you more questions, but I'm going to leave you there because I really know I've interrogated you and you've been so sweet and so nice. But I would like you to come back after the new runway is built and even before that. So on behalf of the listeners, I just want to say thank you very much, Brian Joyce, for coming in and telling us all about air traffic control and the history. Thank you very much, Brian.
More than welcome.